Hey everybody, what's up? This is Tristan and you are listening to Sound Sessions.
Everybody, welcome to Sound Sessions here on WGN Plus. I'm Michael.
And I am Kevin.
Well, I got news for you, man. I went to this show the other night at the Empty Bottle, which is one of my favorite venues, and I saw this amazing artist perform. They opened up for Those Darlings, and I was like, who is this person? I need to speak to them. And luckily, we are here today with Tristan Gaspoderic. And we couldn't be more delighted to have you. They're playing tonight, February 25th, tonight at Lincoln Hall. And Tristan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And who else are we here with, by the way?
This is Buddy Hewen. He's a guitar player in the band and engineer, producer extraordinaire.
Buddy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you guys are about to embark on this huge tour with opening up for the Weeks. How's that? Are you guys excited? Is there any preparation that's going into it? Or what's the outlook for this next tour?
Well, there's definitely preparation. We do a rehearsal day before we go out on tour. But I've been playing with this group for over a year, mm-hmm. same steady group, so we've kind of got a thing going on. And actually, it's just fun. It's like, you know, I hop in the car and I say, everything else I was worried about or all the work that I had to do at home or all the music I'm working on doesn't matter anymore. Now it's just time to hang out with people mm-hmm. and other musicians and travel and take in each city. And so actually it always feels kind of like a sense of relief when I get in the car and it's time to go because nothing else matters. Just, you know, getting to the
kind of leave it all behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Enjoy, you know, the travel and the people.
Yeah, I it's always so astonishing, like, the fact that we get in cars and just drive for miles and miles and miles. Did you ever think that this was going to be your life when you were growing up?
No, I mean, I always wanted to do music, and I was singing since I was a very little girl. Like, I was very musical from a young age. And so it kind of manifested in theater and other things that you do that are a little bit more where I came from, which is Lansing, Illinois, which mm-hmm. is the South Side. You know, there were avenues for creativity in music. It wasn't let's start a rock band or yeah. let's tour. But I moved to Nashville in 2007. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who was dating my roommate at the time is Chris Scruggs. And his grandfather is Earl Scruggs. And his mother is Gail Davies, who is the first female record producer. Anyway, long story short, he ends up being my roommate's boyfriend. And so we hanging out along, you know, the way it is with roommates, mm-hmm. You know, it's the boyfriend, but he's a roommate because he's there all the time.
Right.
He said, oh, I had him play on my first record and he, you know, I didn't have any money. I said, will you come play? And he's like, normally he would need to be paid, but he did it for free. But then he said, hey, why don't you come to Asheville and play this show and open up as, you know, like a trade. And I went to Asheville, North Carolina, and played a show with him. And then we drove back that night, got back at 6 a.m., you know, because it's 5 hours from Nashville. And I stopped and I said, this is it. Like, this is where my next move is. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, which is not just staying in one city, playing as much as possible in one local area. It's doing that all over. And so I quickly figured out how to play Nashville, Chicago, and New York. And I built sort of a touring situation out of that. That's how it started.
Wow. Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
So I guess the music scene wasn't up to caliber in the South Side of Chicago?
Well, I was actually in the city by that time mm-hmm. before I moved to Nashville. And honestly, I don't feel that I can comment on the art scene here because I was in college and I was working to put myself through college, selling shoes actually about two streets down at the Kohlhaan store.
Wow.
I worked my way through working retail jobs and I supported myself as I went to DePaul mm-hmm. University. And so I really didn't try. Mm-hmm. I was always writing songs And I was always wanting to play shows, and I would play local shows. I played at Uncommon Ground from the time I was 16. And there was actually a coffee shop up on the north side called Java Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody remembers it, but it was around for a few years. But they gave me a residency when I was like 16, I think. And I would go up there and play a couple hours every other Saturday night. My dad would drive me all the way up there to play.
Can you actually, I was going to bring up your dad because I read he's a musician too, and is he the reason you guys had moved to Nashville, or was it just a whole family thing? Or?
No, they're still here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, I got out of college and I worked for a year and I was miserable and I decided that I would move to Nashville to be a songwriter and give it a go. And so that's what I did, and I left everything, including, you know, my engagement and everybody, and just kind of hit the reset button and started over in Nashville.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about, is he the reason you kind of got started with music then, your dad?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
My father is a great musician and, you know, a hard worker, and he recognized my interest from a young age, and so he would accompany me, and I started singing in talent shows and doing professional theater at a young age. I don't know if anybody remembers Candlelight Dinner Theater in Summit, Illinois, which is now a Portillo's that I went to a couple weeks ago.
Good choice.
But it was this theater, this dinner theater, and there used to be a stage that came from the ground, so all the sets would be changed at the bottom floor, and then the sets would come up into the dinner theater, and people would watch theater. So I did theater and things like that. But yes, my father instilled in a young age. He, you know, bought me a guitar, and I started writing songs when I was 14. And he would record, help me record music. So I had EPs and recorded music from the time I was 15, and with his help, because he always had a home studio. We didn't really have a lot of money, but he had. He was always interested in recording, so he had, you know, very limited recording equipment, and we would make things from a young age. So I was pretty experienced by the time I had to make my own records. I kind of knew how to do it.
Yeah. So fast forward to today, how does your family play into your music? Is there still influence there, or how does that work now?
They come to the shows and cry every time.
Don't you love parents the way that is?
I think that it's really nice. I think that you're extremely, we talk about privilege, but the real privilege is parents who love you and encourage you. I mean, that is just, you can't really compete with that. And so they've always been very supportive and any way they possibly could. But no, I'm independent now. You know, Buddy and I have a house. I mean, we're married, and we have a home studio at our house, and we make all the recordings ourselves, and we work with people to mix our recordings, but for the most part, we're kind of DIY.
Yeah. So let's speak a little bit on that. Buddy, when you are performing with your, you know, your wife, what's the dynamic on stage? What's the songwriting process? Is it better, or does it hinder? Is there any kind of difference?
No, it's still really fun.
Yeah.
I think that when we perform, I just have a really good time playing. Tristan writes all the songs. Occasionally, we'll write a song together, but really, I'm just here. I'm just a really great helper.
Yeah.
You know,
when I saw the dynamic on stage and I could tell that you guys were really having fun, I think that's what really drew me to wanting to see more of the band.
Yeah, we have a great time playing together. It's really fun to go on tour, you know, with your significant other rather than, well, like Tristan spent the last year playing with Jenny Lewis and she was gone all the time. And then, you know, I didn't have as much fun at home and she didn't have as much fun on tour.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it's true.
That's like heartwarming.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I actually wanted to talk a little more about that because we've had some like brother duos come in and kind of talk about the dynamic there. And I've played with brothers before, and sometimes you kind of have to like step back and let them duke it out a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the dynamic of a husband and wife would probably be such a dream situation for music.
I think that one of the hard parts of being a touring musician, and a lot of reasons why a lot of people fall off, like they can't handle it, is because you do have to leave home a lot of times, your family, your significant other. So one of the benefits of this is that we don't miss anybody when we leave, and we get to travel together. We also duke it out like brothers probably would, and there is a level of honesty that we become comfortable with, but I think that's what makes the environment, our work environment, better, because there isn't everything's just complete honesty, and we have a sort of a method of working on things, and everybody being able to, we have rules like you can't say no to an idea until you've tried it, and we have, you know, we have some I don't know, we just sort of establish a relationship of honesty, and sometimes honesty is not polite. So
true, but sometimes you gotta, you know, speak your mind, right?
That's right. Especially when you're working on music, it's a commitment to the material, and it's a commitment to making it its best thing, and it's understanding that your first idea maybe isn't the best idea, but also it's recognizing power structures within your band and not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? So not being so rigid in your rules that you're not allowing people to be their best creative selves and contribute as much as they can. So,
mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the first songs you used to play together?
Well, I joined the band maybe 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Around the time when Charlatans came out, that record Tristan made, and mm-hmm. we were playing all those songs. Baby Drugs is a popular one.
Yeah, Buddy had a band called Eureka Gold in Nashville, and they were really hot. Mm-hmm. And they were hot musically, and they were all hot physically. And I was dating a guy at the time, and I went to their show, and I was like, I gotta date a guy in this band because they're good. They have great songs, and they're hot, and I couldn't figure out which one, but then I decided I narrowed it down. I went to see another show, and I narrowed it down to Buddy. But he wasn't in my band for the first 2.5 years we were together. His band was doing their thing, and then they broke up like all bands break up, and I kind of snatched him up into the... Yeah. I just started touring, you know, back to the whole New York, Chicago. I mean, I was touring in a Honda Civic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Buddy came on board. And
yeah, that's right. That was the first tour we went on. The first tour I went on with you was in a Honda Civic with three people.
Oof, wow.
Two guitars, bass, three people. It was a tight squeeze. And, and early on like that, before we had figured out how to tour efficiently, we were doing, what, 10-hour drives every single day.
Oh, man.
In a Honda Civic. I think we all...
And you guys have been dating how long at this point?
2.5 years. Yeah, we were pretty autonomous for the first few years of our relationship, as you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And but I, you know, honestly, my band wasn't really good enough for Buddy until we got to a certain point, and then I was like, I could bring him in now, and he would be interested in, you know, staying. And so once the relationship sort of forged in a different way, we've been, you know, it's been really great. You know, every songwriter wants their lead guitarist, collaborator, engineer person, and Buddy likes that role, and so that's it. Kind of work. It just works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll speak a little bit about how cutthroat Nashville is. I mean, you're talking about how the band wasn't even good enough until that point.
It's not cutthroat in the sense that, I mean, I guess people could characterize it as competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's really good. So your best musician in Chicago is just about equal to everybody else in Nashville. Everybody mm-hmm. in Nashville is great. Their parents were musicians. They're snobs. I mean, everyone has great taste in music, a rich understanding of the context of music, the musical history,
mm-hmm.
and all of those things make for really great bands. And so the bar is raised. And if you're searching for something, if you're a creative person and you're looking to make your mark and figure out what you do, then you would be excited by being in that environment, and you would say, oh, I see what this person's doing, I like that. Or, you know, you're inspired by it, and you're realistic with yourself and saying, you know, my band's not that good yet, you mm-hmm. know, or I just can't find the drummer I want or the guitar player I want. And it took me a long time and many arrangements of musicians to find my people, mm-hmm. but I was very ruthless and very focused on what I, you know, my opinion of the way things were supposed to sound, and it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out very well. Let's talk. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add a little sidebar for people that don't, you know, go to Nashville or just know Nashville as the country music capital and all that. There's a lot more to Nashville than just the main strip and all that. You should definitely get out from just the main downtown area of Nashville.
Absolutely. Pick up a copy of the Nashville Scene. Look at the concerts. You know, put your hand over your eyes and just put your finger down and then go there and you'll see great music.
Yeah.
It's every night of the week. There's so much amazing country music, but there's also an amazing rock scene and just an amazing artist environment. It's really incredible.
Yeah, you know, and your sound is so, like, it's just a great tapestry of that country, rock, pops kind of sound. What were some of your influences making the latest album, Caves?
Well, Caves was an interesting, let me just start with Charlatans at the Garden Gate, which was my first record, and that was my 60s girl group record. I wanted to make a record that had a ton of string arrangements, backing vocals, and a sort of 60s rock and roll record. And then Buddy and I had to do a couple of tours, just the two of us, and we busted out an Alesis HR16, which is an old drum machine, and we put it through a guitar amp. And so we toured, and we got really into programming drums. And so Caves sort of came out of those instruments, and I started playing keyboards and writing a lot of songs on keys again. I originally was a piano player and singer, also played guitar. So we moved sort of into the more of the keyboard synth world and made Caves. So I would say Echo and the Bunnymen, Kate Bush, Peter Gabriel, the list goes on and on. David Bowie, I mean.
I think the idea... as I remember, it was to do something that had a blended organic sounds, acoustic sounds with synthesizers. So when you listen to that record, if you listen closely, you can tell that almost everything has a double. So like the drums are electronic drums and they are being doubled or supplemented by real drums. The synthesizers are being doubled or supplemented by string arrangement. Everything, so it's like it's really like layered and a blend of this organic and synthetic sound,
which is sort of representative of the world that we live in right now. We are so thirsty for things to be organic, not just food, that we kind of make the visual, like, you know, authenticity. We want all these things, and so it becomes sort of a commodity as well. You know.
Yeah, I could see that. What about country artists as far as influences from there? Do you any old classic countries? Any Dolly Parton or anything like that?
I love Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton's honestly, is like my number one female. She's the best.
She's a national treasure.
I was going to say, isn't Dollywood out in Nashville too? Yeah, that's
well,
awesome.
That's in East Tennessee.
Oh.
Gatlinburg.
It's just at Sevierville.
Anyway, Gatlinburg. It's Dollywood in Gatlinburg. We've been there. Anyway, this is where you see how we're married right now.
Correcting each other. I think it's the next town.
Well, I love that. Well, let's talk about Caves for a second. I mean, obviously, you guys have a great influence on your fans, and you have a really great network of people because Caves was actually backed by Kickstarter, over 594 people, correct?
Yes.
And what was that process like? Like, what's the step you need to take, and do you see yourself doing this again?
Well, I had a major label record deal on the table for Caves, and so I thought my record was going to be coming out, and I was going to have a lot of support. And when a merge happened between two, you know, I lost that deal, and it fell through like so many deals. And so instead of just waiting to put something else together, because it takes a really long time to sort out contracts if you care about your work. I know a lot of people just sign it and they're like, give me that deal. But I wasn't like that. And so it always takes a long time. I thought, I'm not waiting any longer. I finished this album a year ago. I'm going to put it out myself, and I'm going to do a Kickstarter to get the money to hire a team and pay everybody and pay for manufacturing and all those things. And so that's where that came from. It was just my impatience in wanting to put it out, and optimism in that form at the time where crowdfunding was new, it sort of seemed like a DIY way to do it. And it was successful. I feel good about doing it that way. I don't think I'll ever do that again.
Yeah. Was fulfilling all those people's wishes and their and
the goals,
what do you call it?
The
incentives.
Incentives, yeah.
I love the incentives.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think that really nowadays with the way media is free, music is free, really, and even the whole point of touring and playing shows is having that connection in the room with people and having them and like what you do and inspire. I mean, hopefully the inspiration I get from other music is what I'm passing forward if I can. And so, you know, the incentives, it's fun, creative. We did a lot of really cool stuff. We did commission a cover where you could just pick a song and we would record. We spent 2 days on it. And we would record a song and send it to you. So we ended up making it, you know, 18 song cover record, which we didn't. We only released a couple from that, but yeah. So it really was great. I'm not sure I would do it again, but
very nice, very nice. That only shows the motor that some artists have, like where it's like, I'm not going to wait for anybody. I'm just going to get it done. And what's more authentic than that, to be honest?
Yeah. Did you guys, what was the goal that you were trying to raise? Because obviously you went 20, over
20,000.
And you got an extra 2 over that.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
For 2, almost 3,
right?
To be honest.
And guess what? $20,000 was not enough.
No, it never is.
I mean, it costs a lot more than that to put out a record. I don't know if people realize that, but it's expensive. David Byrne made a great book, How Music Works, and it breaks it all down.
That is a great book. Yeah, I've checked into that before. It's definitely a good read. Now, we touched on this a little bit before, but I got to make sure that I ask it. What was it like playing with Jenny Lewis, and how did that relationship come to be?
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
The relationship, I guess there was a few ways it came to be. I had opened for The Elected, which is Blake Sennett's solo project. Blake Sennett and Jenny Lewis were both in Rilo Kiley and still are very good friends. And so Mike Cave, who is in Blake's band, is also in Jenny's band. So I had that recommendation there. Also, I was friends with Megan McCormick, who's the guitar player in Jenny's band from Nashville. And so when they were looking for a female keyboard player that can sing, I was recommended. And so I was in a good place last year to take a break. And so I decided to just take a hiatus from doing my own music and travel the world with her and be in somebody's band and see what that's like.
Yeah. What were the crowds like? What was that energy that you felt working with Jenny?
I mean, the thing about Jenny is that everybody loves her, fans love her so much that it was incredible applause every night, you know, incredible energy, and we could do no wrong, truly. And we played for the biggest crowds I've ever played for, opening for Neil Young, opening for, why am I blanking out on the other amazing?
Wilco.
Wow.
You opened for Ryan Adams?
Elton John.
Oh my gosh.
Opening for Ryan Adams, yeah. Opening for so many, opening for Mumford & Sons in front of 20,000 people. I got to sing with a little help from my friends in front of 20,000 people. You know, it was incredible, truly surreal, and you know, unforgettable. I got to play in Japan.
Wow.
And Australia. Wonderful.
What's it like playing in Japan? Because you always see those documentaries, or you see those people who play and have these crazy stories about how these fans are just they get at you and they just won't stop. What's that like?
I only was there for 3 days, so let me tell you, it was wonderful, and I wish I could spend 2 weeks there. Complete culture shock. Completely different. Money's different. Language is different. You really do need a guide. What I will say about Japan is that everything is cute. Aesthetically, everything is beautiful. Down to the ibuprofen I purchased at the store for my hangover. You know, it was
really?
In this beautiful flowered packaging. I don't know. It's just something about everything is so efficient and beautiful, and it's truly like life is art there.
Yeah.
The Japanese fans were wonderful. I mean, they knew all the words. I mean, that's just the influence that Jenny's music has on people is profound. So it's
So were you listening to Rilo Kiley and some of her side projects back at DePaul?
I was not. And honestly, yeah, I know. I'm Rabbit Fur Coat was the only record I really listened to. Mm-hmm. I'd never really gotten into Rilo Kiley or any of I really wasn't a fan before I joined the band. But then once I joined the band and I learned the 30 songs to start, I was, of course, hooked. You know, I really grew to appreciate her as a singer. I mean, she's a wonderful singer in all her writing and her lyrics. And we're buds now. It's awesome.
Very cool. Side question, did you ever meet Bill Murray when you were with her?
I did.
Wow.
No kidding.
I did.
Everyone has a good Bill Murray story. We got to hear yours.
Well, Bill's amazing, by the way. He's who you see on camera, you know, where you love him. He's like that in person. And he was at Jenny's show in South Carolina, and he asked, he said, "You must be the new girl." I was like, "Yeah, Bill, whatever. You're Bill. Hurry, I don't care." And then he needed a lime, and I shot at high speed to get the lime for Bill Murray and cut the lime for his vodka tonic. And he's wonderful. He's just a joy. And he's so good at entertaining and being funny and wonderful. I mean, there's nothing I can. It's all right.
Yeah. Talk about like a cool experience, especially being from Chicago and getting to meet Bill Murray, touring with Jenny Lewis. That must have been just such a highlight in your life.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It was a really, really exciting year.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of highlights in your life, now I looked back at some of your history, and you do have a really strong history here in Chicago. Is it true that you were growing up listening to the Beatles on 104.3?
That's true.
Okay, are we talking Dick Biondi years?
Oldies 104.3.
Wow, she remembers.
Yeah, I do. I've listened to, I mean, not just the Beatles, everything that was on Oldies 104.3, and truly I feel like that's all I listened to growing up, because we really couldn't afford CDs. It wasn't something that was a part of the budget, you know. My parents' budget was like food, shelter, cool. Everybody's okay, you know?
The necessities for life.
Yeah. So we listen to the radio, and I love all those old songs, and I think it does influence my writing and my style.
Can you talk about now, I mean, you know, coming from Chicago and you have family still here, what are some things you like to do when you're, I mean, you mentioned Portillo's earlier. What are some other things you gotta do when you're back in Chicago?
I just sent my bass player over to the John Hancock building to go to the 96th floor.
Oh, yeah.
to get a drink. What is it?
Signature room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just the museums here are wonderful. And the food. I mean, truly, I can't.
We hit up Sultan's Market probably.
Oh yeah,
almost every time we come into town.
Very nice.
Hot dogs.
It's just one of those things.
Hot dogs is no more.
Oh, what?
It closed a few years ago. He's still kind of doing it here and there, but
no duck fat fries on Thursday.
Not anymore. Nope. He'll do a pop up here and there, not anymore.
It's always nice. We since a lot of time when we come up here now, we are playing. They'll pop in. It'll be in Wicker Park or someplace around a venue, and we'll just cruise around and take in the city, because Nashville is such a small town. We don't, it's just kind of get jazzed by being in a real city. Mm-hmm. I think.
What are some of your favorite venues to play here in the city?
We do love the Empty Bottle.
Empty Bottle's great. We like the Subterranean's really.
Oh yeah,
a nice venue.
Staple.
Except that you have to walk up this insane flight of stairs with all your gear.
Oh, that sucks. I've done that too. It is cool coming down the spiral staircase. That's cool.
To get on the stage. Yeah. Once you get up there, it's fine. It's fine once you're done loading in.
I think they offer you like one guy to help. Like, I'll get an amp for you or something. Cool, I guess. Yeah. I'll take it.
Lincoln Hall's really nice. We've played so many places here. Shuba's.
Yeah,
Shuba's, nice.
Shuba's,
they're all great.
Classy. It's a classy joint.
I feel like this city has changed so much since I lived here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to live in Wicker Park when it wasn't as gentrified or corporate. It used to be really cool and kind of burgeoning.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that the Double Door might be closing down very soon?
Oh, no.
Which is a Wicker Park staple as well.
That's right. Wow.
So much stuff has been changing since you've been in Nashville.
I know. Every time I come back, I feel like it's a little bit different.
Yeah. It's a shame.
I miss the food. I have to tell you. I mean, truly, I was so spoiled growing up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in the suburbs and we still had great food. I mean, anything you wanted. And Nashville doesn't really do that, have that. Kind of a, not as much of a cultural melting pot as we have here. So we have, it really makes for great things like great food and great art and...
Very cool. So when you guys were in Nashville, did you ever guys need to like test or exercise that muscle? Do you ever play open mics? Because I know that open mic scene is insane, but just like, you know, just a little sneak in here and there?
No.
No. I mean, why would you,
no,
right?
No, you know, lately, if people want me to play shows, I like to have big shows that are really impactful and get a bunch of friends to do. When I'm in Nashville, I put on a lot of shows where my friends come and they'll sing songs that would, you know, make it real special. But lately I've been doing poetry readings. If friends ask me to do something and I don't want to kind of throw the big show out there, I'll do poetry readings because I write poems as well. So I do things like that, which is more of like me exercising sort of a weaker thing that I need to get out there and kind of figure out.
So are you, with these poems and everything, are you guys writing on the road? Is there going to be a new album that's coming out anytime soon?
We just finished an album. It's actually being mixed right now by Stephen Haig. He mixed Caves. And if you look up Stephen, he's an amazing mixer, producer. He's worked with a lot of amazing, he's made a lot of amazing, great records over a very long career. And he's mixing the album now. We finished. So now we're just kind of waiting to see how we're going to put it out. And
Very cool. They're playing tonight at Lincoln Hall, opening for the Weeks. It's February 25th. Tristan, what's the next big step for the band? Like, what's that goal we're trying to reach in the next 5 years?
You know, I feel like keeping low expectations is a way to increase my satisfaction. So I guess I don't really have any goals. My goal is just to keep working and making records, and I feel like I've gotten to a point with making songs and writing songs and recording them. I'm kind of self-sufficient, so I just want to keep just putting stuff out. I mean, that's really all I care about, touring and being a really great band. I would like to have one more person in the band, to have a five-piece band. But
playing what?
Yeah.
I need someone to cover vocals. I really would like to find a girl that can cover a lot of the vocals, and I need auxiliary acoustic guitar and keys and things like that. Just sort of supplemental percussion, just the extras that aren't being covered.
All right, you heard it here, folks. So if you are a singer,
taking submissions,
please reach out to Tristan. All right, before we let you go, we heard that you have a little bit of a WGN connection as well, that you got on air with our own Jonathan Brennmeyer when he was over performing here, right?
Right. Wasn't there a morning show? Wasn't he in the morning?
He was in the morning show.
Okay. So we need to find this footage. Or we need to find this audio. But when I was 8 years old, I called in. They were having a talent contest to win a giant box of Archway cookies. They were about, I would say, 5 inches wide. I remember this was very exciting for me to get this box of cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And I got tickets to see Sesame Street on Ice, I think.
Wow.
Dang.
I won.
Let's talk about it.
I was saying Tammy's in Love on the radio, and I won, and I got that, and I was just so, so ecstatic.
That was the start, Kevin. That was it.
Started here, yeah. That's
and now right. Look at her. Well, look, Tristan and Buddy, we can't thank you guys enough. Have an excellent show tonight, and thank you for joining us today on Sound Sessions.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is Sound Sessions, your voice for Chicago music.
get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.